The date was 1865, and the place was Boston. Dr. Philip Brooks, a minister, he took a sabbatical, and he went to the Holy Land, which 3 years later inspired the Christmas carol, "O Little Town of Bethlehem." While he was away, possibly in Bethlehem, I'm not entirely certain, he had a variety of ministers filling the pulpit for him. And on one Sunday, after the visiting minister preached his sermon, he began to walk back to his hotel. He soon realized that he was turned around and hopelessly lost. He had no clue where he was. It was an unfamiliar city to him. And he needed directions. And I guess back in 1865, it was okay to ask for directions by men, because that's what he did. He turned and he saw a man behind him, and he said, "Could you help? I'm lost." And the man responded, "Why, you're the minister I just heard. I know your voice. I am blind, but I can show you the way. I can take you to the door." And the minister, he protested. The blind man insisted, saying, "You will not refuse me the pleasure of helping you, for I so seldom have the opportunity to render service. Everyone is just kind to me and won't let me help." And so the two men walked arm in arm for about 10 minutes, and he said, "Here's your hotel," as they arrived at the door to his hotel. Before parting, the blind man said to him, "I live alone. I can go about the streets without a guide. And I'm thankful for my blindness, because I have so much time for quiet meditation. There will be time enough in heaven for me to see everything." Now, I'd like to invite you to do something a little different this morning. Ministers don't typically tend to encourage their congregation to close their eyes. But I trust that you won't fall asleep. So this morning I ask you to close your eyes. If you need to, put your hands over them as well. And imagine that you are completely blind. And I'm going to read our passage, and once I'm done reading the passage, you can open your eyes again. So take this time to close your eyes, to pretend you're blind, to better concentrate and to meditate on the Word of God this morning. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is, son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside, begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called the blind man. "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and he came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. And the blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," Jesus said, "your faith has healed you." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Blessed is the reading of God's word this morning. You can open your eyes. I know it's Advent. I know I should be preaching on something Christmassy, but Chris, you have prevented that this morning. I gave you guys a week, so I'm pushing Christmas back a week. Besides, she did a Christmas carol way too early. So this is my payback. No, we're going to finish chapter 10 of Mark this week, and then we'll get into Christmas stuff and pick up in chapter 11 after Christmas. But as Jesus heads to Jerusalem, his disciples, they've made a request that was causing division among them. That's what we were learning about last week. And Jesus took some time to teach his disciples that real discipleship does not mean seeking to sit in a place of power and authority. Instead, the greatest in the kingdom of God are the servants. And it's in this context Bartimaeus stands in stark contrast with the behavior of the disciples. He was clothed in nothing more than rags, and he sat there hoping against hope that somebody would drop a coin into his cup so that he might have his next meal or a place to rest for that evening. And by taking time to serve this lowly man, Jesus himself sets an incredibly powerful example for his disciples about serving. And like Bartimaeus, the first thing that we need to do is to recognize our blindness. They came to Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples, together with a crowd, a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. Jericho is a well-known city in the Bible. In the Old Testament, we read about the Israelites marching around the city and the walls come tumbling down. Well, since that time, it has been rebuilt. Jericho is an interesting city because it sits in the Jordan Valley, not that far from the Dead Sea, which makes it actually about 850 feet below sea level. It has this incredibly tropical climate, and the town is known as an oasis because of a freshwater spring. Some call it the city of palm trees or the city of a place of fragrance because all of the roses and the cypress trees. And it was in Jericho where people would gather as they came down that valley from the north. They would gather in Jericho. It was their last rest stop on their way up to the capital. You see, the journey is about 37 kilometers long, and it is a steady climb of almost 3,300 feet from Jericho to the temple. It's at this point we meet a man named Bartimaeus. And the prefix bar means the son of. So we know that he is the son of Timaeus. Now Timaeus, this name in Aramaic, it means defiled and unclean. In Greek, it means honor. So Bart, the son of Timaeus, is the son of defilement and dignity. It reminds me that we all have great worth and that we are all unworthy. Everyone matters to God, but everybody's messed up. Don't ever think that you are worthless because you are made in the image of God. But you are unworthy because, well, you and I are sinful. And our sinfulness makes us unworthy. It reminds us of Bartimaeus. We're told that he is both blind and a beggar. Blindness was a very common problem in Palestine. You see, generally, one was blind and was never healed. Well, Leviticus 19 establishes that God's people were to care for the blind. This is part of what we do. We care for the blind. And there's a whole passage in Leviticus 19 teaching us that we must care for the blind. It establishes that God's people were to care for those who are blind. But there was this cultural and religious stigma against those who couldn't see. In John chapter 9, that the Pharisees, they asked Jesus, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" They attributed blindness with the consequences of sin, and therefore they often mistreated and marginalized those who are blind because they are sinful. They did something wrong and God is punishing. It's not the case. Bartimaeus, or Bart. Bart, he was relegated to a life of begging. And in this picture of someone who is helpless and hopeless, without Christ, we're all in the dark. 2 Corinthians 4 states that the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. We are all blind without Christ. We are spiritually blind and we are beggars because there is nothing that we can do to change our situation on our own. Before you can see spiritually, you must first recognize that you are blind. You will never seek the Savior until you first see that you are a sinner in need of saving. So we begin with blindness and then we move to belief. Verse 47 says, "When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, 'Jesus, the Son of David, have mercy on me.'" In Luke's version of this account, the man hears the crowd and asks, "What's going on?" He could tell this was no ordinary Passover pilgrimage going on. There's something else going on. And the crowd said to him, in the commotion is because of Jesus of Nazareth. They identified Jesus by his hometown. It's not surprising that the crowd focused on his earthly heritage. But when Bart begins to bellow, he calls out Jesus by his divine title. Jesus, Son of David. And the name Jesus means Savior, and Son of David refers to the long-awaited Messiah. It's a title of power and authority and recognition that he is the fulfillment of the covenant, the prophecy that was made some 1,000 years before to King David. When Gabriel gave God's message to Mary, Christmas alert, when Gabriel gave a message to Mary, he called on this very covenant with David in Luke chapter 1. "You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus." And then verse 30 says, "And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." Jesus is the promised Messiah whom the prophets said would be born in Bethlehem, would be born of a virgin in the royal line of King David. He would be called a Nazarene. All of these things became true in the life of Jesus. All of these and so many more were prophesied about him. It all brings us hope. And it was the hope in Jesus that Bartimaeus had. And when he confessed Christ as the Son of David, he was responding with belief that Jesus was the Messiah. Let me tell you, we may not get it, but every single Jewish person would have known that the one accompanying the signs of the Messiah's arrival was one who healed the blind. It's clearly taught in Isaiah 35. When John the Baptist wanted to make sure that Jesus was the promised one, the anointed one, the Christ, he sent someone to ask Jesus for his credentials. Ironically, it's his cousin. He should know his credentials. It says in Matthew 11, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight." You see, he first recognizes his blindness and he responds in faith and he says, "Hey, I'm a blind guy who needs healing, and here is Jesus, the Messiah." His belief is personal as he cries out, "Have mercy on me." And this reaction, this is bold. This is really bold. Bart knew that he needed to help himself, or he needed help, not from himself, but he needed help because there was nothing that he could do on his own. And so he called out, "Jesus, the Son of David, have mercy on me." And then we see what the crowd of people do. They're bothered by all of this. They don't like all of this. In verse 48, it says, "Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet." Well, that's not cool. That's really cruel. That's not right at all. The simple fact that they would rebuke him shows their disdain for him. They hated his condition. They hated that he was a beggar, that he was blind, that he was on the side of the road. And the tense shows that neither side was going to give up. Bart wasn't going to stop calling out just because they said be quiet, and they weren't going to stop telling him to be quiet, probably in lots of other terms as well. Be quiet. Shh. Don't make noise. And they continued to tell him to be quiet, which gives us the response in the last half of the verse. But he shouted all the more. Good on you, Bart. Good on you. You kept shouting. You needed to be heard. Say, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And this is the second time he cried out, or the third, or the tenth, or the hundredth. I don't know. He just kept calling out. And this guy was really bold and courageous. He chose not to listen to the crowd, and he shouted out even louder. Louder than the first time, because he didn't want Jesus to get away. And it's interesting that he longs for mercy from the Messiah. He doesn't cry out for justice, but for mercy. And this is a huge lesson for us, because today so many people call for justice, but they really want mercy. And we have to be careful about asking God to give us justice, because we just might get it. And I don't want justice in my life, because if I received justice and what was just, well, I would be sent to hell. I would be condemned. What I want is mercy and grace. Justice is getting what I deserve. And the word mercy is used over 200 times in the Word of God. And it's so rich. And we need a number of synonyms to understand its depth. Loving kindness, goodness, favor, pity, compassion. It's been defined as bringing help to the wretched, exhibiting compassion to the miserable. It's easy to confuse mercy and grace, but here's a way to keep them separate. Mercy is not getting what we deserve. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. But we want mercy and grace. And what does he call for? Not justice. He calls, "Have mercy on me." And I wonder if you and I have the same kind of boldness and courage when it comes to calling out for divine help. Maybe we don't because we don't really understand our condition of blindness. Or maybe we don't because we don't believe Jesus can really do anything about it. I'm not sure where you're at. But verse 49 says, Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called the blind man, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. As a result of Bartimaeus' bold request and calling out for mercy, Jesus stopped. The Savior stood still. We need to remember that Jesus is on mission. He knows without a doubt what it is that he has been called to do, and that has to be done in Jerusalem. He is resolutely set to go to Jerusalem, but for a cry of mercy, it causes the Creator of the universe to stop in his tracks. And one commentator writes, the cry of wretchedness was far sweeter to him than their shallow hallelujahs. Can you imagine how the crowd must have felt? Especially those who had been going, shh, be quiet. When Jesus stopped and said, call him. People are looking at Bart and then at Jesus. Do you want him? And Jesus commands, call him, to some guys, perhaps the very ones who had just been saying, shh, be quiet. Call him, bring him. And by the way, Jesus could have gone over to him himself, but he chose to use messengers. Likewise, he wants to use us as messengers to get his message of mercy out to those who are in need. And they head over to the side of the road. So they called the blind man, cheer up on your feet. He's calling you. It's kind of funny how their attitudes change. Earlier they told him to shut up and now they tell him to cheer up. And these messengers then give this miserable man a message. He is calling you. But we see more of Bart's boldness. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped up to his feet and came to Jesus. He threw his cloak off to the side. Did you notice that? He threw it off. The cloak was all that he had, but he left it behind to get to the Lord. He may have done it for a practical reason, because he didn't want to trip on it. Who knows? This cloak may also have been used to collect the shekels representing his past life. But it didn't matter. He just took it, threw it off to the side. I need Jesus. And he ran to him. What are you willing to lose in order to find the Lord? He also jumped up. I don't know too many blind people, but jumping for blind is not necessarily something that is part of their everyday activity. The blind man leapt to his feet, which is, it's just so unusual, but he leapt because he was so excited to meet Jesus. And then he came to Jesus. It wasn't enough to throw off and to spring up. He needed to actually come to Christ. He could have thrown off his coat. He could have jumped up and said, yeah! And never gone to Jesus. What would have happened then? He would still be blind. But he goes to Jesus. And Luke tells us that some of the crowd helped bring him to Jesus. They wanted to be involved in this as well. And what happened next is astonishing, just as astonishing as it is ironic. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. You remember last week? This is the exact same question that he asks the disciples in verse 36 when they wanted to sit at his side. The exact same question. "There are this, Jesus, we want you to do something for us without, and he says, "What do you want me to do for you?" And it's the exact same question. Jesus knew what Bart wanted, but he asked the question for his sake and for the crowd of people. And I just love his answer. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." This word rabbi, some of our Bibles translated as rabboni, which means my master. It's incredibly personal. It's such a personal profession of faith. It shows that his understanding and his submission to Christ, he calls him master. It's so different from how James and John responded. They wanted seats. They wanted success. He wanted sight. He wanted salvation. What do you want Jesus to do for you? Have you ever put it into words? The cry of your heart? Have you ever verbalized your deepest need? Have you ever shouted out for mercy to have Jesus save you from your sins? If you haven't done that yet, Jesus is waiting for you to recognize your blindness, to respond with belief, to react with boldness. And that leads us to the final result, to receive a blessing. "Go," said Jesus. "Your faith has healed you." And this word for healed is the word for saved. Here's a spiritual principle for us today. Jesus is always moved by a cry for mercy. Because he believed, because he put his faith in Jesus, he received his sight. And verse 52 ends. Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Immediately. Man, that must have been just, "I've asked you and I've received immediately." Man, it must have been so bright. I can imagine the first thing he did was go like this. But did you know that you can be saved immediately? Bart goes from sitting on the road to following Jesus. Did you notice that? In a similar way, we are not saved in order to sit. When we are converted, we are called to accompany Christ. And those who put faith in him must also follow him. The blind man seized the moment. Jesus would not pass through Jericho again. This was his last chance. Jesus is passing by right now. This is your moment. If you don't take it, you'll miss something extraordinary. Your spiritual blindness will continue. Perhaps you have people in your life, just like the crowd, trying to keep Bart from Jesus. There are crowds in all of our lives who are trying to stop us. Don't listen to them. Stand up, be bold, go against the grain, cry out for mercy and healing. Jesus is asking you the question, "What do you want me to do for you?" Recognize your blindness. Respond with belief. react with boldness, receive your blessing. For today is the day we celebrate hope. A hope in the one who was prophesied, who was waited for thousands of years. He came, not as we expected. He came as a baby, born of a virgin in a tiny little town of Bethlehem to a young, afraid mom who wrapped him in swaddling clothes and placed him in a manger. By the way, that's a carved out hunk of stone that we call a feeding trough. Man, our Christmas cards have glamorized things. But I invite you to close your eyes once again. Imagine that it is a cool night, that you're outside. You hear the quiet noises of your sheep. It's just an ordinary night that you've seen 100 times before as a shepherd. But tonight you've stopped in the fields of Bethlehem. And Luke chapter 2 says this: "An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior is born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men in whom his favor rests.' And when the angels had left them and gone to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' And so they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen them, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them." He is the one who is prophesied. He is our Messiah, our Savior, the one who came. This is not blind hope. This is the same type of hope that the people had had, that the Messiah would come. This is a hope of certainty, because Jesus, he is born in Bethlehem. Will you stand this morning and sing with us, "Exalted One"? Worship team, will you come and lead us in this closing song? "Exalted One, in the midst of the darkness, we are one of those shepherds.